1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
Time for our entertainment segment, and Eye on Celebrity, Margaret Gray joins us. And we are very, very happy here on the Phil Hendry Show to have a live exclusive interview this hour with actor Ben Affleck. Ben is the star of the new film, The Sum of All Fears, a film that's going to be coming out, opening, I believe, nationwide this Friday, if I'm not mistaken on that. And Margaret, take it away.
Thank you, Phil, and hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray with Eye on Celebrity. There's a new political thriller about to charge into theaters, and it's called The Sum of All Fears. It's based on that Tom Clancy bestseller. Now, in it, neo-Nazis have their hands on nuclear weapons and are trying to trick the superpowers into an all-out nuclear war. Ben Affleck plays CIA hero Jack Ryan, who knows the truth and is begging his superiors to listen. Here is a clip from The Sum of All Fears. The Sum of All Fears will be opening nationwide this coming Friday. And I'm joined right now, and I'm very, very thrilled to be joined by Ben Affleck. And Ben, is it a movie that already has everyone talking? It really is. How are you doing, by the way, Ben?
I'm doing good.
What did you do on Memorial Day?
I should spend Memorial Day in Canada, you know, doing interviews.
Uh-huh.
And promoting the movie, you know, which what you do, you got to go up and do that. And they don't have no Memorial Day in Canada. I found that out because I wanted to, you know, take a day off, go see the Maple Leaf, you know.
Oh, the hockey team.
Yeah, that's how I don't do, but I couldn't take no day off and promote the movie.
Well, Ben Affleck is with us. Ben, it's very cheerless doing interviews with people like me on a holiday, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't lie, you know, not good.
Well, what a sensation this movie is already causing. As we know, a number of people, it was made before September 11th, correct?
Yeah, it was made last year, well, last winter.
And yet, a lot of people are saying, is there such a thing? You know, nuclear weapons, somebody desperately trying to get people to heed what's going on here. Is there such a thing as too real, too scary, too close to the bone?
Yeah, I know. You know, it's and I don't know what the answer is to that question, really. I mean, I know that you know about on the movie, and we want to take a, you know, we want to be realistic and everything. But we want to make a smart adult political thriller.
Yeah.
And we made it last year, you know, at that time, it was that just that, an escapist political thriller, you know. And then the whole sort of world changed, you know, and the movie now it turned into a drama, you know, in a weird way, you know. It weird what happened. All of a sudden, it's weird, you know.
Well, there's even a warning on the film that says disaster images, which I don't recall having ever seen in a film before. Is that a warning for children?
I mean, I think it's a reflection of the fact that, you know, recognizing that people may be, you know, some people may be, really sensitive to these kind of things.
Well, we have been reading that the White House, at least on sourced basis, is saying that this could really alarm people too much, and you could whet the appetite somehow of terrorists.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that to me, I think it's probably not true. I mean, first of all, it's on these like tabloid internet site. You know, I think if the White House really want to say something, they probably will find a way to do it other than like the Drudge Report or something. You know, and secondly, you know, White House has known about that movie and been aware of a long time. We did
You did a screening in Washington, didn't you?
Yeah, a screening in Washington last week. Well, you know, a bunch of senator, military folk, and intelligent folk. And if they were really concerned about it, I think they would have addressed that at that time. And also, it seemed the White House being, you know, is interested in raising awareness to anybody with many warnings, you know, including Condoleezza Rice and Vice President Cheney about, you know, the inevitability of the future attacks being on guard and that sort of thing.
We're joined by Ben Affleck, the star of The Sum of All Fears. It's very exciting, and I have to say you're a very handsome young man.
Thank you very much.
So there's no ambivalence on your part?
No, I don't have no ambivalence in terms of the fact that, you know, we did it. The movie is told tastefully, It's not sensationalism for the sake, you know, of titillation or showing disaster for the oohs and ahs from the audience, you know. They're not, you know, Black Sunday dealt with this subject. The book has been out for there for 11 years, you know. And there's another Tom Clancy book about somebody, you know, flying an airplane into the Capitol. I mean, so, and I don't think anybody imagined that there was a source of, you know, the inspiration of this previous terrorist act. It's just a recollection, a reflection of a really different world we live in, you know, than right now.
And I know you've said, on a lighter note, that growing up in Boston to play Jack Ryan was like playing Hamlet.
Yeah.
And respectfully, you were respectfully wary of trying to follow Harrison Ford's footsteps, but you're playing a very young and much more naive kind of Jack Clancy.
I'm not playing Jack Clancy.
I'm sorry, Jack Ryan.
Yeah. No, see, this you know, the version of it, you know, Alec and Harrison played this part and did it and had nothing to do with it, you know. But, you know, admiration for those guys. I love them, man. And they're everybody's. It's all good, you know. But, no, I love to do a movie. And every time I go in front of the camera and make a movie, like when I did the one with Matt Damon, and I enjoy the hell out of it. I dig it every day. I get out of bed. Look at that. I get to make a movie, you know. How can you not like that? You know, how would you not say, damn, man, I'm out, TV, a camera on me. Now I go down and see myself, you know.
And you speak Ukrainian, don't you? It's Ukrainian you're speaking, really?
Apparently there's a difference between Ukrainian and Russian, yeah. And although they sort of sound similar, I speak some Russian and some Ukrainian in a movie. I don't personally.
No, you don't speak Ukrainian?
No, I don't. Well, I do a little bit.
Could you speak some?
Well, yeah. You know, that's all I know.
And what is that?
That's just, you know, I'm very happy to be with you.
We're speaking with Ben Affleck, the star of The Sum of All Fears. Here's another clip from the movie. Now, in that part of did you like that? You were watching that, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm always amazed, you know, just seeing how they do everything.
In that part, you're holding a gun to a munchkin's head, and you're threatening to blow his tiny brains, as you say, in the...
Yeah, no, I'm holding a gun, gonna blow his head off, you know. But that's what I got to do to save the girl, you know, who's going to die.
We're with Ben Affleck. The movie is The Sum of All Fears. It's going to be in theaters this coming weekend, and we'll return with more during our interview here with Ben Affleck on Focus on Personality. I'm Margaret Gray.
And I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be right back here. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back.
1-800-449-8686. Hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray, and we continue with our interview with one of the hottest young actors in Hollywood, Ben Affleck, star of the new Sum of All Fears motion picture. In this scene, Ben leaps from a speeding powerboat onto a submarine so that he can get to below decks to deploy a nuclear missile that will destroy a terrorist site. Let's watch and listen. Oh, God. In that scene, what was your motivation there, Ben?
Well, you know, I'm jumping off a speedboat, you know, and I'm getting on a submarine. So what I need to do is I got to get down, get all the missile and everything.
Keep the missiles from firing.
Keep the missile from firing, right. You don't want a missile to fire. So I keep the missile from firing, and that way, you know, everybody's saved. Everybody go to a movie like this. You know, they want to have relaxation, you know, and entertainment, and they want to see a little bit of action. So that's what that scene was all about.
Very impressive, very impressive. And I asked you about speaking Ukrainian. I wanted to ask you, can you prove here that you can speak Ukrainian? I mean, in other words, can you prove it here that the Ukrainian audience or Russian audience would understand you?
Well, I mean, I don't speak it really.
You don't really speak it?
No, I just do it in a movie.
I don't understand.
Well, that's just the script I read, you know.
Oh, all right. So, in other words,
Yeah, I don't know how to speak no Ukrainian.
All right. Well, I was going to say, anybody out there.
All right. Well, six Russians. That's terrible. Here's Russian. Zasadu namada gudabada. See, that's that bad Russian, you know.
Yeah, but somebody is saying Vanya Didis or whatever he says there. Okay, can you say that?
No, I can only say that, you know, take off your boots, that kind of thing.
And that's it?
That's it.
Take off your boots.
Deuces vada buda blah blah blah. There you go, because I figured that that's all.
And that's Russian.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take your word for it.
Whatever, you know. I mean, what difference it make, you know? I mean, I figure that's all you need to know to get by in Ukrainian, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. See, just people just put their guns down and take their boots off, and other than that, everybody's going to be just fine.
Yeah. And I think you're ready for diplomacy myself. I think you could really do well for our country.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I know there's no danger of me being asked to translate for United Nations. I don't think, you know.
All right. We only have a few seconds, but I want to roll a picture of you because we only have a picture, and I'm going to show everybody when you were 8 years old. And here it is right here. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, that happened to me when I was eight.
That's just great. And I wanted to leave everybody with this. This is your life. And we can see it right there in the picture.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for having me here on the Diane Sawyer interview.
Well, we are very excited to have Ben Affleck. Let's, everyone in the studio. Ben Affleck is the star of The Sum of All Fears, which will be coming out in... why are you waving, Phil?
Can I sit down?
Come on in. Phil Hendry, the host of the show. Come on in.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm real good. Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Ben Affleck is white.
I don't know. What's he saying?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, you've been sitting here talking to a black man, forgive me, sir, but you are black, 5'7 and 200 pounds. What's...
Well, my understanding was that I was talking to Ben Affleck. That's who you are, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they...
That's what they what?
Well, they sent me over there. They told me to say that.
I beg your pardon?
Well, everybody, see, there have been so many interview requests for Ben Affleck.
You're not really Ben Affleck.
No, he's not Ben Affleck. Can't you tell? You've been talking to a black guy for a half hour.
Well, I didn't know.
Haven't you ever seen anything? I mean, with Ben Affleck in it?
Chris booked him. It's not my fault. It's his fault. He told me I'd have Ben Affleck in studio, and you said you were Ben Affleck.
Well, that studio sent me over because they have had so many requests for interviews of Ben Affleck.
So they sent over a phony baloney?
Yeah.
And they sent a phony baloney over to my show because we're low man on the totem pole. Is that it?
Well, something like that, yeah.
Well, Phil, I'm very sorry, but my understanding was this short, fat, round black man was Ben Affleck.
Well, you ought to know better than that. Haven't you seen any of his movies? Did you see Pearl Harbor?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Well, where do you think Ben Affleck was in that movie?
There was a short, fat, round black man in that movie.
Well, just because there was a short, fat, black... What are you doing here anyway, man?
I work with Ben.
You work with Ben Affleck?
Yes, sir.
What do you do?
I'm a stunt double.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
What do you mean that makes sense? Yes, David.
Dude, what's going on?
Well, the fact is...
Why am I not hearing an interview with Ben Affleck?
Because of the fact... Here, you take the...
David, darling, this is Margaret.
Yeah.
Chris Pelton booked this man and told me it was Ben Affleck.
Well, is it?
No.
Henry, what did you do?
I didn't do anything.
Well, why are you letting her interview a guy that ain't Ben Affleck?
I didn't do anything. Pelton booked the interview, and she's sitting here thinking she's interviewing Ben Affleck.
Well, who is it?
It's a black guy about 5'6", 200 pounds.
Ain't that him?
No, sir, I'm not.
You ain't him?
No, sir.
No, has anybody in this room ever seen Ben Affleck?
Yes, sir, I have.
Other than you, because I know you're his stunt double.
I did, Phil. I saw him in Pearl Harbor.
Well, who did you see in Pearl Harbor? David.
She said she saw him in Pearl Harbor. That's good enough for me.
She said she saw a black guy 200 pounds in Pearl Harbor.
Ain't that him?
No. No, 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 no.
Look, let Bud and Janice book the interviews and send Pelton back to getting coffee and scrubbing the toilet, okay?
Well, I mean, it's not my decision.
Phil, let me tell you something. I'm the one who's humiliated here. Because when I'm told to interview Ben Affleck, I do it. And if...
Can I just interrupt here, if I could? I think the lady, you know, is right. You know, I've come in and I say I'm Ben Affleck. I feel I'm probably responsible for this. You know,
you're not responsible for anything.
No, but I told her, you know, that I'm Ben Affleck.
Well, all right, just because you say it, you could tell me you're Napoleon Bonaparte, man. I ain't going to believe it.
Well, yeah, but she hadn't seen me in anything.
She said she saw you in Pearl Harbor, a short, round, fat black guy somewhere in that movie. What about that Good Will Hunting? Did you ever see that?
Yes.
Oh, and I suppose there was a short, fat black guy in that one, too.
Can I interrupt here for a minute?
What are you people talking about?
I just want to interrupt here.
What?
Do I still get my 20 bucks? Because Mr. Pelton said I got $20 for him.
Yes, well, that's our standard talent fee.
Our standard talent fee, huh?
Yeah, that's what we pay.
Oh, I see. Ben Affleck's going to come in here for 20 bucks.
That's what we pay.
Well, for 20 bucks, we didn't get Ben Affleck.
Well, we got his stunt double.
You're really a stunt double, huh?
Yeah, far away, long way shot. Way, way far away.
Like about 2 miles.
Yeah. Anytime they need to have Ben Affleck fall off a crane from 2 mile out.
They just push you.
Yeah.
All right, well, give them the 20 bucks. And I want to thank you very much, whatever the hell your name is, for being on the show.
Yeah, well, thank you. I had a lot of fun.
Oh, what are you playing this for crying out?
This has been Focus on Celebrity with Ben Affleck.
Hey, Phil, pay Ben is 40 bucks.
I beg your pardon?
Pay Ben is 40 bucks.
Wait a minute. Kill the music. What do you mean, 40 bucks?
He says he gets 40 bucks.
He said he gets 20 bucks, right, Ben?
No, I get 40.
Don't be cheap, Phil.
Yeah, okay. Here's your 40.
This has been Focus on Celebrity. I'm Margaret Gray, interviewing Ben Affleck.
Jesus, try not to screw that next one up.
Yeah, everybody, just go ahead and get out of here, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Henry, for the $40, even though I said 20.
Yeah, that's okay. The Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com, is online, so you can check out the whole reason for our existence. That's right, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Let me tell you about those Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirts that are available right there in our souvenir shop. These babies are a royal blue and black. They come in 65% polyester, 35% rayon. I mean, that's a real bowling shirt. And they come in sizes ranging from small to extra, extra large. And the orders are shipped within 2 to 4 weeks. This is a great Father's Day gift. This is a great 4th of July gift. This is a great Memorial Day gift. This would have been a great Memorial Day gift. So whatever you do, when you stop by our website, go to the souvenir shop and pick up some CDs and a Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. New from the Phil Hendry Show website, and also get your backstage pass, which entitles you to all of our audio archives, our Listen Live line, our 30-day archive, our webcast archive. I'm his stunt double. You get it with your backstage pass, and all it costs is $6.95. That's beautiful. What?
What'd you think of that joke when I came in and said your wife was dead?
Yeah, thank you. It's only $6.95 a month for the backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show. So check it all out at philhendryshow.com.
Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So our story here where McDonald's is looking to get out, not get out of, McDonald's is looking to expand beyond the food business. They want to go into other merchandise. I don't know what. Well, why don't I read the story to you? You want McStuff with that? McDonald's Corporation's thinking about expanding beyond food into retailing as the world's largest restaurant chain looks for ways to bolster sluggish sales. Sluggish sales in the saturated U.S. fast food market. But the question is, what to sell? A spokesman for McDonald's said they're considering several ideas, but he didn't provide any hints. We're going to do some testing. It's the prudent thing for the company to do. We're looking for every possible innovation and concept. Maybe they'll sell clothes. Maybe they'll sell toys. Maybe they'll sell guns. I think guns is an option. Maybe they'll sell taser equipment. Maybe McDonald's will go into the food and laundry business. Maybe they'll not only sell you your burger, maybe they'll sell the McCondom. The McRubber, I think, would be a far better thing to sell. You know, I say, the new, hi, and there's Ronald prancing out with maybe one on his nose. Be sure to come in and get your McBurglar meal and your McRubber. I know, because I was a bachelor for so long, and I know that there have got to be people out there, men and women, who relate to this. I know a lot about fast food. I know a lot about the fast food chains in America. Am I a total expert? I don't know what that means. Do I know a lot? Yes, I do. Do I know? And when you ask, well, what do you mean you know a lot, Phil? What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you. For instance, I know the very best burger to eat while driving a car. Now you say, well, what is that about? You guys who eat on the run, you know what I'm talking about. I don't like to sit in McDonald's or any other restaurant and eat there. I don't like eating. Most of those places are not very comfortable for me to eat in. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the guy with the ski cap pulled down and he's reading the paper upside down. You don't want to be sitting there. Or some people go into the McDonald's or they go into Carl's Jr. in the morning. They have their little word processors and their laptops, and they're doing their work, sitting there having their McDonald's coffee. Never buy coffee from any fast food restaurant because it's all roofing tar. It's terrible. You got to really be in a serious need of caffeine injection, baby, to order up yourself a piping hot cup of McDonald's coffee. Remember that old lady that sued because it was too hot? I ought to sue her for suing them because she's so dumb to buy that coffee in the first place. It's lousy coffee. But I do know that the very best burger, for instance, to eat while driving in a car is the McDonald's Quarter Pounder with Cheese. Is that the best hamburger? Of course not. Is it the best burger to eat while you're driving in a car? Yes, it is. The reason is because they make the McDonald's Quarter Pounder with Cheese with a patty and with pickles. They don't do a lot of lettuce because that falls out. And there's a way that they do the onions. The onions stay in the bun. And then the other thing that they do just before, excuse me for laughing, but I think when you hear me say this, you'll laugh too. Just before they put it into the bag, they take it, put it on a chair, and have the biggest, fattest chick working there sit on it. And then she gets up, and then she puts it into the bag. You'll notice it's nice and flat when it gets to you. No, I've been eating what I call a QP with cheese for a long, long time, bro. I mean, I've been eating that thing since... Damn, how long they've been making it? I mean, since the 70s. I ate one of the very first Egg McMuffins when they came out in like 1972, the Egg McMuffin. Now, what's the best burger? All right, forget about fat Johnny Rockets or fat burger. I'm talking about your standard, you know, chain joint. The best burger is the In-N-Out Burger, and they only have about 25 stores in California and Nevada. You guys listening in other parts of the country, you can't get an In-N-Out burger. I guarantee you, though, it's probably the best chain restaurant burger that you're ever going to have. And the other cool thing about In-N-Out is they have little codes and passwords that if you don't know them, you can't really option yourself some other things that are not on the menu. For instance, they have a double with cheese and all those other kinds of burgers. But they'll also serve you what they call a 4x4, which is four patties and four slices of cheese. Animal style, that's with the grilled onions. But you got to know to ask for it, right? And mustard, that's animal style. Grilled onions, so you got to go up and say, I'll take a 4x4 animal style. They know exactly what you're talking about. But you won't see it up on the menu. Now, there's a lot of people listening to me in California don't even know what the hell it is I'm talking about. So now when you go into In-N-Out, ask for a 4x4 animal style, you'll vomit it up because most of you can't eat a whole 4x4 animal style. I can eat two. I can eat two. We take the kids over to In-N-Out, and Maria's always with her. Do you have chicken breast or turkey? Oh, will you get out of here? Are they serving burgers here? What is it with women, right? Women are always out for health. Can you imagine that, huh? What is that with broads that they want to be healthy? I can't understand. I'd rather die of a heart attack. Oh, they have the protein style that they wrap in lettuce. Is that In-N-Out or is that McDonald's? In-N-Out does that. So that's a fantastic burger. The second burger that I think is just tremendous, and again, I think it's only in this area here, is Topps Charbroiled Burgers. And they got a few stores, one up to like three or four up in Pasadena. Oh, baby, this is a great burger joint. You know the place I'm talking about, Chris? It's in Pasadena. You got to go there, man. The menu is unbelievable. They have an extensive menu of chili cheese fries and chili burgers. They have a half-pound burger. They have a quarter-pound burger. They have a BLT. They have patty melts, which are, if they're well-made, they're fantastic. They got Reubens. They also got a fried egg sandwich for breakfast. They'll also serve you full scrambled eggs for breakfast if you want to. Place is just fantastic. Now then, but let's move more toward the chains, like Jack in the Box. What's the best sandwich at Jack in the Box? For my money, it's the spicy chicken breast sandwich. Why? Here again, ease of eating in the car. There's only one reason for me to go to a fast food restaurant. That's because I want to get something and I want to keep on moving. That's why they have drive-thrus. Oh, I see. Let's pull up in the car, order it, take it in the bag, and then go park on the side of the road and eat it. What is that? You order it, and then you want to drive while you're eating it. Well, the best burger, or the best sandwich the Jack in the Box has got is the chicken, spicy chicken. Now, we move along to other favorite burger places of mine, like Burger King. But Burger King makes a Whopper, and it's got a lot of lettuce. The lettuce falls out. The lettuce falls out, the onion falls out, and sometimes the condiments and some of that mayo falls out. Then it's down the front of your shirt. And there's one thing that's hell on earth. It's while you keep on driving and you got slop all over the front of you and you don't have napkins. So now you reach in the back seat looking for a shirt. Or you're looking for like a suit that you're going to take to the cleaners. And you're now cleaning up the front of yourself with a suit, with a brand new $1,500 to $2,000 Italian suit. You're wiping Burger King slop off the front of you because you didn't get napkins. Why? Because the guy at the thing doesn't sometimes give you napkins. Now, this is something that runs the gamut, whether it's McDonald's, Burger King, Jack in the Box. Some of these guys don't lay any napkins on you. There's nothing worse than driving and eating a takeout burger with no napkins. Burger King is phenomenal. My favorite is the BK fish. Now, they used to call it the Whaler. It's a fish. The Whaler was phenomenal. It was almost as big as a Whopper. It had that big tartar sauce laid on it. Oh, it was great because I dig fish. Only problem with that was, and I would say I'll put it at about 1976, I went to Burger King with my girlfriend. I ate a Whaler, and I broke out in hives that didn't go away for 2 days. And I remember my girlfriend cutting my hair in the bathroom and saying, God, you look like you have leprosy or something. Will you just get me to the hospital, please? And I went, and the doctor gave me a shot of Benadryl. This was before it was over-the-counter. It was a prescription drug. He gave me a shot of Benadryl. It made me really stoned, and I said, I got to have me another Whaler. Then you have Wendy's. Fine burger. Good, solid burger. The square patty bothers me, but not too much. And I'd say that Wendy's, of all the burgers, is probably the best of the fast food, full-on fast food chain burgers, the Wendy burger. Get yourself a double, get yourself a triple. And the other thing about Wendy's is my wife will go in there with me because they got a salad bar. But can you eat it in the car? Passengers, yes. Driver, no. And I have to stress, the way to gauge a good takeout burger, whether you can eat it in the car, is whether the driver can eat it and can eat it one-handed and driving a stick. That's why I go back to the quarter pounder with cheese. I've driven stick shifts my whole life until I got my most recent car. And the QP with cheese, I can eat that with a stick shift, one-handed with a stick shift. I can steer with my knees, shift with my right hand, and eat with my left. Is it safe? You bet. and smoke a cigarette. And smoke a cigarette. So keep that in mind when you go and you're looking for something quick and dirty. Of course, McDonald's is very famous, I think, for those very reasons. I think it's because of the ease that you can eat these things. Now, the worst burger to eat in the car is their Big Mac. They load it up with that lettuce, and it's got all the onions fall out, and forget it. And the bun, for some reason, the bun with a Big Mac is really soft, so when you bite into it, the whole thing just squeezes right out, and it's right into your lap. Carl's Jr., I wouldn't eat it with your mouth. I can't go near that place. And the reason is because I used to eat at Carl's Jr. out in the desert, and I used to get those sunrise sandwiches. Everybody's got a breakfast sandwich, right? Carl's Jr. got a sunrise sandwich. I ate it two times, both times a quick trip to the toilet, sitting, and a good 20 minutes in there. Then I go back, I get another one. And finally, I added 2 + 2 = 4, Carl's Jr. sunrise sandwich, diarrhea. Carl's Jr. sunrise sandwich, diarrhea. And then I started, oh, I get it, okay, it's causing it. So I don't eat a Carl's Jr. I don't like those sweet bacon ranch burgers they sell. They suck. And that leaves who? I think that's it. I think those are the biggies. Carl's Jr., Wendy's, Jack in the Box, McDonald's, and Burger King. Those are the big ones. And then, of course, you have your regional chains. I mentioned one here in California. There's one back in upstate Minneapolis, you know, Minnesota, around there, Hardee's. You ever heard of Hardee's? Hardee's blows endless houses of primates. Get out of here, Pelton, with Hardee's. What are you kidding? It's not a burger. It's not a burger, man. It's the pit and the pendulum. There is White Castle, of course, which is a classic. The little tiny White Castle burgers and the Crystal burgers down south, beautiful things to behold. Beautiful stuff to eat. And easy to eat in the car, sort of. But still, the QP with cheese has got it beat. So there it is. That's everything you need to know about fast food burgers. Arby's is not a burger. Arby's is a roast beef sandwich. And I'd rather have my eyes gouged out with a grapefruit spoon. All right. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
You have to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. You find he is a wizard of wiz, if ever a wiz.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
The other thing you got to do with fast food places, you got to be very cool with the people in there. Be very cool with the people in there, because even the remote reporting and possibility of guys hawking one into your burger if he doesn't like you, just that alone, just the thought of it makes me fear going to some of these places. And so I'm ultra cool with all of them, you know. And that doesn't mean that a guy who's having a bad day isn't just going to hawk one right up into your sandwich or pee into the fry bin or whatever it is they do. But I try to keep an eye on the guy cooking the burger, and I'm like always, yeah, it's great. I love eating here, man. Please don't urinate on my burger before I eat it. Okay, thank you. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover joins us from American Monitor, an organization set up to monitor Americans' behaviors and attitudes following 9/11. And I know that Larry, the reporting of McDonald's losing money was a little bit alarming to you?
It was alarming, Phil, because McDonald's, like Coca-Cola, and perhaps maybe one or at the very most two other companies that I can think of, McDonald's represents America. We're trying to fight terrorism in this country, and all of a sudden people decide that they're not eating as much at McDonald's. They want to go to Burger King and some of these other places that you were talking about, which I would not eat at those restaurants if I was paid to.
Why not?
I don't think they represent... First of all, I don't think the food's very good. Secondly, I don't think they represent the very best in all of us. I think McDonald's has always represented the very best in us. McDonald's has always been a symbol that we could look to and be proud of, and to say to ourselves and to our young people and the children that come after them, McDonald's was here. It
created some good in this world, in a rotten, filthy, stinking world sometimes. McDonald's created some good. And how did we repay them? We repaid them by not eating there anymore. We repaid them by making them lose money. We repaid them by having them lose market share. If you don't support McDonald's, that's fine. This is America. It's a free country. But I would not say that you're what we would call all-American.
Eating at McDonald's is an all-American thing.
Absolutely. And if you're not all-American, then what would you say you are? You would say that you're not American at all. And then I think you have to go to the next logical step. You support terrorism. Our country, Phil, was built on the proposition that we would support our country and we would fight for our country and, yes, die for our country. You don't eat at McDonald's. All of a sudden, you're sending the message that the terrorists might have a good idea.
Not eating at McDonald's. I mean, people do have...
No, but McDonald's is... First of all, it's the very best hamburger out there. I heard you saying what you were saying, and I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. The very best burger out there is a McDonald's Big Mac. Now, that's the best hamburger, and that's just...
Well, that's your opinion.
No, that's not just my opinion. That is from market research. The best hamburger in America is the Big Mac. And the fact that McDonald's is such a representation of our country that after 9/11, McDonald's did not need, like other businesses did, they did not need to raise an American flag. All they had to raise was the McDonald's Golden Arches flag. If you don't recognize that, then you obviously have got a problem with this country.
I wasn't aware that McDonald's didn't raise the American flag.
They don't have to by an executive order, because the McDonald's flag is so representative of America that the McDonald's flag suffices as a legitimate symbol for our country. If you don't recognize that, if you don't salute McDonald's by going in and buying a Big Mac, you're for terrorism. Don't even listen to this show. Fly the McDonald's flag on the 4th of July. I'll tell you something. I have a father who is a veteran of the Second World War. He has a serious plaque buildup, and he has a cholesterol problem in his blood. But he and I have talked, and I take him to eat a Big Mac every day, and he has reluctantly agreed because he loves this country. Now, Mr. Henry, listen to this, and listen to it very carefully. I could lose my father. He has active heart disease. But I make him eat a Big Mac every day, even with all that fat and all that grease and all of that cholesterol. I make him eat that Big Mac every day because we want to support this country. I could lose my father from all the McDonald's he's eating, but that's all right. I'm willing to lose my father for our country, just as I'm willing to lose my son, who is fighting right now in Afghanistan in Operation Buzzard.
Wow,
my father has chest pains twice a day, but he still eats the greasiest sandwiches from McDonald's that he can, because he loves this country.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover is with us on why not eating at McDonald's is un-American. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.